everyone, I'm Brian Conley of Hunters HD Gold, and you're listening to Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. This podcast takes a deep dive into what it takes to be a match director, manufacturer, sponsored shooter, or just an everyday shooter trying to win his or her first major. So sit back and enjoy this episode of Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. Welcome back to another episode of Hunters HD Go Behind the Lens. Today I'm sitting down with Crystal Dunn, and we have talked to many times trying to get together, and here we are. How you doing?
Hi, Brian. I know we have said this so many times. You are a traveling man, though.
You know, but I'm in your backyard now.
Yes.
So I was like, if this doesn't work this weekend, it's just not meant to be.
Exactly.
Because when you travel a lot to matches, it's always go, go, go. Got meetings here. You got stuff there to do always. Which is cool. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But when did you even start shooting? How far does this go back for you? I mean,
oh, good Lord.
Exactly. You know, is this something you did, you know, shooting with mom and dad or anything being younger? Did you start doing that?
Oh, if you want to go like way back.
We'll go way back. Let's go. Take me back.
take me back. Let's see. So yeah, no, I started, it was like a family pastime, okay. Right? So like my whole family's military, not much hunting. That's a lot of like sitting still and being quiet, which wasn't my strong suit.
Okay.
So
I talked to somebody else who just said the same thing.
Really?
So that's hilarious.
Yeah,
continue.
Yeah. So I've been saying that for years. That is all all kinds of true.
Right.
So, yeah. So anyway, so we would just kind of go out and do it, but maybe like a couple times a year. It wasn't something that I, you know, and not that they meant anything by it, but something that I learned personally. It makes sense now where they're like, not a lot of gun handling was taught. It was
right.
Like you go and they do everything for you and hand it to you and there you go. So I think doing that and then getting into my own journey of shooting, I realized that I like to approach new shooters a little bit differently, where that I think that comfort level gets built in a little bit better.
Right.
If you start, you know, people with the handling and everything else too. So yeah, so I started doing that growing up. And then
do you have brothers or sisters?
I have an older sister.
Okay.
And she'd come with us, but she's not super into shooting kind of the way I am.
Right.
But yeah, then we eventually ended up I'm trying to think. I was probably, I don't know, I like went through a breakup at one point, like early mid 20s. And I was like just trying new things. So I think I took like a woodworking class.
Okay.
I did break dancing. I did all kinds of random
break
stuff.
Break dancing.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Now we've got a whole nother subject to discuss because
I did.
Okay.
Let's just say I did a lot. Okay. I did upholstery, all kinds of stuff. And my dad was like, hey, you should look into competitive shooting. And I had never even heard of it.
Well,
so
how did he hear of it? Do you remember?
You know, my dad's kind of like one of those people who's plugged in, like reads the publications and
okay.
Like, you know, looks at stuff online and all that stuff. So, I've started the fishing vest route. Right.
Okay.
Fishing vest and cookies.
Yep.
We all like that.
Got
so,
it.
So I did a couple of IDPA matches and met some of the younger people in mm-hmm. this area that were like, so this is cool.
So Minnesota is your home?
Minnesota. Yes. I've lived here for about 15 years.
15 years. Where were you at before then?
Born in California, lived in Charlotte, grew up in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've been around.
So you have, but now you're in the snow.
Not
like
yet.
6 months of the year. So
well,
what was the attraction to that?
There was no attraction.
I'm just making sure. Some people like it, just not me.
You know how you get stuck in the snow?
Okay.
I got stuck in the whole state.
Yes, but right now it's very nice.
Yes.
There's no snow. Run.
Yeah, run. Well, as you know, I travel a lot too, right?
Yes, you
so
do.
That's kind of thing. No, my dad was military and then worked for the airlines. So we just we moved around a lot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
What part of California when you were there?
Inland, like Redlands, Ontario, that kind of area.
Okay.
So yeah. So
very
I'm
cool.
all my mom's family's out there.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you're trying to do gun stuff, that's not the place to be.
No, it's not, but it's a wonderful place to visit.
It is a great place to
Me
visit.
Me and my wife love visiting California when we can. Now we haven't been since I started this, I know 5 years, so 6-7 years we haven't been. So
okay.
It's not the same place anymore.
Mm-mm-mm.
So at all.
No, not at all.
You know, when you were doing, so you did competitive shooting in your 20s when you first got started?
Well, I mean, so I've been in it probably, I want to say I've been in it. Probably my eighth year,
okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so I met some of the other like younger people in this Minnesota area and they
right.
were like, so you think IDPA is fun? We're going to blow your mind.
Right.
And then
right.
went to my first USPSA match and stuck with that. Tried a little bit of three gun. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a big, I don't know, shotguns. That's just,
They're a wonderful group of people.
Yeah.
That oh, they like are. To stick with their own, which is okay.
Well, no, I love
not
the
a lot
people.
Of crossover. Oh, no, the people is great.
The
it's
people
just,
I love.
When they're devoted to three gun, they're devoted to three gun.
Yeah. So I love the people. I'm just not a fan of shotgun. And the other thing is, like, you know, the matches, at least here locally, gosh, you know, you could be in a match till 4 or 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a different, you know, flavor. But I shot a couple. They were fun. And now I kind of split between like long range and USPSA mostly. Started doing a little bit of steel challenge, mm-hmm. like playing around in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you go through a stage where you've always had a gun when you were, you know, going to school and everything? Was that something you always had, or is it something you didn't really, you know?
I think I was, it was not long after I turned 21 that I at least, like, I think got one.
What made you want to buy a gun?
It was just kind of like, I mean, it was family tradition. It's like, why would you not?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Wonderful.
Which I personally, that's why I continue. So like, if you've seen, I do a lot with, you know, I still like to work on my own shooting, but I really have felt like kind of more of a draw to like helping to educate, shooters and promote shooting sports and all that. And I think it's because if you make it like more part of culture and more mm-hmm. part of families, you're, you know, much better off preserving, you know, the Second Amendment and people's kind of appreciation for it if you're actively kind of participating in things like that. So for me, it was just a part of family and culture. So I feel like the more that I can kind of promote that with other people, I think the better off we'll be and the more shooting sports will continue.
That's so cool. No, I agree with that statement a lot. What did your mom and dad think? Well, you know, I know dad was probably cool. What did your mom think about you getting into the shooting sports? Was she all behind it as well?
Yeah. I mean, my mom is like, she's not much of a shooter, just kind of whatever my dad, you know, my dad does those things, does those typical things that I feel like guys do where it's like, oh, honey, I bought you a new gun. But really, he like bought him a gun that he's like designated as my mom's.
Right.
So, and she's just kind of like, okay, great. Right. Yeah. Like she's not super like, you know, but yeah, so she was all about it. Doesn't know a whole lot about specifics. So it's funny kind of hearing her explain it to people in the family.
Were you ever able to train her to use a gun coming from you?
No, well, because my family doesn't live close. I live far from them. So, no, I feel like I've gotten to take my employees out. I've gotten to take my employees and their moms out. So mm-hmm. I've gotten to do, and I do a lot more that. I do a lot more like training with women these days and new shooters and that kind of thing. So I get to do that, but not my family specifically. Plus, I kind of feel like, I don't know. It's like, that's kind of my dad's territory.
Okay. No, I get it, but I didn't know, you know, there's some mothers and daughters that are real close and do educate each other on that from what I've learned. So I didn't know if that's just a path that you chose or not.
I like working with other people and their moms.
Okay. I get it.
It works out better.
So what was, you know, the competitive juices, where did this come from? Cause you know, you are competitive.
Yeah.
You, I've seen a lot where you do. Where did that come from being so competitive?
You know, it's funny because like I was one of those people like I didn't really think of myself as competitive, but then the minute that you start going, you're like, nobody's gonna pass up a good chance for some like smack talk either, right? So but yeah, I think it's just I met a really good group of people when I got into it. Minnesota has a really good shooting culture and a really good group of shooters out here. So I was fortunate enough to just meet people who were very motivated at mm-hmm. the time mm-hmm. and get me into like learning how to train. And I think when you kind of like the process, right? When you learn how to like the process, then I feel like the end result just kind of becomes part of that.
Very cool. So what do you do now for a living? What actually do you do? You said your employees and everything else. What are you into?
Yeah. So, Maxwell, Mr. Match Director here keeps, all the people around here, they're like, y'all, do you work? And I'm like, I do sometimes. Isn't that the goal?
Right.
Just try to be independently supported and, no, so I actually own a, aesthetic salon. So don't do hair. We do eyebrows, lashes, skincare, do permanent makeup.
That market's completely changed over the years.
It has. It really has. So, things like social media have affected that quite a bit too.
Yeah. I don't know. My wife's older than I am and she's found out all kinds of stuff you can do. I'm like, really? I had no idea this was going on.
Oh yeah. So. No, it's a great industry. So I've been doing.
And now guys are doing it.
Oh yeah. speaking of that, so I have done brows at matches before.
At EPA, right?
No, no, sir. No, sir. There is photographic evidence of me sitting either at matches or like at the bar, you know, with people after mm-hmm. at matches, do it like doing guy brows.
Really?
Oh, I do it at SHOT Show. Oh, yeah.
Is this because you lost a bet or just because you just decided to get on the show?
I don't even win it. No, I think it's like I convinced him one time, right? Because it's like you see some people and like a lot of guys, you're just kind of like, okay, whatever. But then you see one every once in a while, you're like, let me help you. I will increase your peripheral vision.
That's amazing.
Your draw time will improve.
This is a whole nother training program for yes. shooters altogether.
Exactly. Well, you know, the new thing in shooting is vision focus. I'm like, well, if you can't see anything, then
it's keeping me in business.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then the funny thing is like, I do it once or twice. And then I'd have guys like, you know, it looked better. It'll look much better. So when I see you, could I do it again? I'm like, yeah, you should probably do it more than once a year, dude. Area 3 ain't going to cut it, but sure, I'll do them again.
Area 3's in a couple of weeks from this show. So
yeah, you're not wrong.
If I see it Area 3 over there with some tweezers or some wax, I'll know what's going on.
I'm going to get a matching Sprinter van and pull up next to you and have the little brow bar right next to you.
That's amazing. Well, because I want to talk to the guys you're doing this to. Next, yeah, that's for yeah, sure. Yeah. See what we're dealing with here. These people own guns.
Yeah, right. See, I know. Well, and it was funny because they did a local news story one time on that. The fact that I owned a salon mm-hmm. and shot, like, mm-hmm. Which was when you could still do like news interest pieces right. like that on there. And I actually had quite a few clients that like came out and were like, oh, I didn't realize you did that. That's so cool. And so I've been really fortunate to be a resource. And I've even actually ended up having some clients sign up to do like training with me for like women's firearms, like that kind of thing. So
very cool.
Yeah. It's been cool. I love, you know, any way that you can empower people or empower, you know, women to feel a little bit more self-reliant is always cool. So yeah, I've enjoyed
that's
that.
Cool. Well, let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
Listen for our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Crystal Dunn. This week's podcast is brought to you by Kona Gold. Kona Gold is a premier lifestyle brand for those who work hard and play harder. There are many hemp companies out there that get lost in the crowd, but Kona Gold sets the gold standard with its premier line of products. When traveling all around with a Magical Mystery Tour to different matches, I travel around with lots of different flavors, including pink grapefruit, candy apple, and vanilla cherry. Make sure to stop by and get some for yourself. They are all zero calories, zero sugar, use organic hemp, and are THC and CBD free. Competitive shooters love them because there's no shakes, no headaches, and no crash. When you order from KonaGoldHemp.com, make sure to use discount code HUNTERSHD for another 20% off. You know, when you're in a situation talking to people that don't know you're in the gun industry,
mm-hmm.
and
that happened recently.
Okay. And you're in a situation where they push back, where they don't like guns.
Yeah.
How do you handle that? I mean, because there's two different ways you can go. Because one, they're a client.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure you don't upset a client.
Sure.
That's where money is. That's income.
Work.
And income. Yeah. And then in your situation where, you know, do you cushion the objection and try to, you know, do more? What does that look like mm-hmm. in your situation? Because being a woman that is a shooter mm-hmm. that's around firearms is very important right now because we have so many women, new gun owners coming to the society. I think that's very important.
You know, that's a good question. It's multifaceted. I feel like in that situation, because in my salon, I feel like maybe because I'm the owner, sometimes people are a little bit more delicate if they're in Minnesota in general, they are extremely like if somebody dislike something, it's just like, well, that's interesting. Like they're not confrontational. Right. They're not anything, right?
It's like in Tennessee or Alabama, bless your heart.
Yeah, right. So I feel like I don't really, I mean, I will bring it up in the fact that it's a part of my life. Like, oh, where are you going? You know, because people ask me, part of what's really nice about my business is that I have built it up and then I have hired employees and I have built them up. And there was just a natural progression to me stepping back from being hands-on. And my employees make more when I'm not there anyway, right? Because mm-hmm. kind of shovels clients to them. So I only do like two hands-on days really a week anymore.
Okay.
But so, and I travel a lot. So I do a lot more like media things now, and a lot more ambassador type things, and a lot more competition and just other travels. So I do talk to my clients quite a bit. They're like, oh, and I know you're always traveling. Where are you going? So I think they see that side of it where it's like, oh, there's like a whole industry and a whole culture and a community. And so people, I think, find that very interesting and intriguing. So if somebody, you know, I'll kind of just talk about firearms in that they're a part of my life. And then if they want to ask more about it, now speaking at work, right? If they want to ask more about it, I'm happy to talk about it. I don't feel like anybody is objectionable to it until we get to like more of like a charged time, like, you know, some of the like school stuff that's happened and sometimes they'll come in and be like, so what do you think about this? I'm like, sure, let's talk about it. Right.
Okay.
Cause I can have those conversations and be fine. If I feel like they start getting really heated or emotional, like I'm in a customer setting, I'm probably just going to like, okay, sure. Well, you know,
you know how to back that up before. Yeah, it gets to situation.
Exactly. Right. Yep. But if somebody wants to talk about it, I would love to have those talks. I can do that with them. And usually I think the easiest way, sorry, my little fluffy guy is staring at you right now. He's our mascot at work too, by the way, he's always there.
That's awesome.
But I think I would say this to anybody, people are really quick to want to state their opinions or try to sway minds. Usually the best thing to do is to ask questions and people, when they talk, they don't listen. They're really quick to talk at people. And usually if you keep asking questions till you get to the bottom of somebody's knowledge base, you're going to uncover something there that's either maybe a misunderstanding, not based on a fact, some kind of irrational feeling based on something else. Right. So it allows you to keep, if you keep asking questions, it allows you to get to a point where you actually may find some common ground.
Right.
And then go from there. And it's also, don't be afraid to somebody be like, well, I just really worry about my kids, you know? And I tell people, so one common thing I'll say is like, I totally get that. When I took woodworking, I was really freaked out by the equipment. I still am, but that's a healthy thing. It's healthy to have a fear of something, until you really understand the safety and know how to work around something safely. So I'm like, it's okay to be afraid of guns. Go with somebody who is a really qualified, knowledgeable trainer and keep working with it till you can build that comfort.
Right.
You know, so it allows you to get to a point where you, I think, can build from there.
Because you're in an industry, they have expos and everything else that you go to learn about new technologies and coming out. Do you know that industry as a whole, do you see them all in a way where, you know, guns aren't really part of anybody's discussion? So it kind of gets brought up just by people like yourself? Do you find common people in the industry like yourself, or is it pretty rare?
On the spa beauty side of things? Yeah. Oh my God. It is. Okay. That industry is extremely, extremely, like all about the feels, you know, not a lot of logic driven.
Right.
But that is what is cool, is that I have had people,
it's opportunities for you.
Yeah, it's opportunities. And so I don't ever connect my business social media with my personal, but I certainly don't hide it. So I do have clients that go like, and it's funny because they'll come into me at the salon and be like, so I creeped and I found you. Right. And then they think it's so cool and they want to talk all about it. So I love that. But just traveling, even like, I'll have people on airplanes or, you know, restaurants or bars, whatever, ask me about, you know, what brings you here? And I never hesitate. I'm like, oh, I'm here.
Well, the best thing for you to get a creep away from you in the airport is like, I'm going to this gun company to do product reviews. And you're like, oh, never mind.
You know what?
I can see that being a good tool to keep people that you don't want to talk to.
You know how many I have? It's funny because guys specifically always think that. They always think like, well, what kind of dummy would like pester you because you're in firearms? I'm like, you have no idea. Yes. Like, no. And then the funniest is, when I get, especially like, I feel like a lot of like military law enforcement that aren't necessarily in competitive shooting that understand kind of the proficiency. Mm-hmm. You understand how
it
works.
Yeah, so do our listeners.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So my favorite is like anytime I tell somebody, I think I sat next to some dude once that was like in the Air Force or something like that. And I was telling him I was going to a match or whatever. And he was like, oh. I wonder if you could beat me. And I'm like, probably not, man. Well,
I love your Air Force voice. We'll talk about your Marine voice in a second. But proposing the Air Force, no disrespect, but I just had to call that out. That was funny.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. I have family in the Air Force. It's fine. Yeah. But it's just, you know, I don't know. I think that's like my general like dude voice, where it's like, oh, I wonder if you could beat me. I'm like, I don't know. Right. Like, it's just, it's so funny. Like, no, they're not deterred at all.
That's awesome. Okay. So when you're shooting, when you get started, and then you're going through the process, you're learning, you're training, whatever you're doing there, what is it like? Who came to you first to pick you up for somebody wanted to sponsor the products? I mean, what'd that look like? Did you reach out to them, or was that a situation like for Federal, for example? You know, that's one of those, you know, the holy grail of sponsorships is to try to get on with an ammo company because it's so expensive when you're shooting. Was that something that, you know, was based on being in Minnesota and it was kind of easy being in your backyard to build that relationship?
I always feel bad because people will ask me questions about that and like sponsorship stuff. I turned down a lot of sponsorships. I am like the least influencer-ish ambassador person. But I think that the companies that I work with like me because of that, right? Okay. I have people that ask me how to do those things. I've never approached a company. Okay. They have kind of come to me, and most of the companies I work with are local companies.
Right.
And so I already had relationships built with like actually people there. Mm-hmm. From kind of my other industry, I'm really good and comfortable at like talking to people and educating people. That's literally all I do at work all day long.
Right.
And a lot of times, like I have 20 minutes to meet a client, make them feel comfortable with me, perform a service, ask them about themselves, their lives, and also educate them on what they need to know about, you know, our service products, et cetera, and get them to want to rebook with me. I have to do all that in 20 minutes. So
yep.
I think naturally that just kind of lent me to being good at doing like on camera things, mm-hmm. And talking about that kind of thing. So I think it was just kind of through some of those relationships that people started to ask me to do stuff. But I always say, because I've never tried to make this a full-time career, mm-hmm. and I was always financially sustained through my actual, like people are always like, what's it like being a pro shooter? I'm like, I don't know. I got a real job. You tell me.
Well, it's still a hobby.
Right? I don't know what you're talking
about. They keep sending me places. It's weird.
Right? It's so strange. They keep saying that word. Yeah, I don't know. But like, so I always say because of that, I was always able to be very discerning and really only do things that I believed in. Mm-hmm. And that I think is kind of the key in the ticket. The companies that I do work with like me, I think, because of that. And I like them. And if I didn't, I'd be like, hey, this is cool, but y'all keep your stuff. I'm going to, you know, or there's companies where I'm like, I just want to buy your thing. I don't want to owe you anything.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Did first time being in front of a camera, mm-hmm. was that something that was very comfortable to you? Or is it one of those things that like you just worked through it and got to where you are today just by trial and error? Did you have any training there?
Yeah, no, you know, I've gotten better. But I honestly feel the process that I just explained to you with clients, I mean, that's basically like being on camera, because you don't mm-hmm. get to go like, hold on, stop, cut, let's redo, yep. right? Like yep. your client's sitting there and you're like, you're selling me, baby, let's yep. do it, right?
It's time to make the first impression.
Right? I mean, we're talking Little Beauty Salon, not Wolf of Wall Street, but you still get that, like, you gotta, you know, you want that drive. It was weird. I was really comfortable talking on camera. That's the other thing. I like to interview people too. Like, I like to know people's story, I like to talk to them, connect to people that way.
Right.
We were kind of talking about like in person so much better. Mm-hmm. But shooting and like performing on camera and doing technical things where it's like, I can sit there and BS with you, but like you want my hands and my actions to match and all that stuff. That was harder. That made me more nervous. So, I worked through that, and you know, just gotten better, learned how to do things, but yeah.
Has there been times in the shooting industry that's been, you know, I've worked with a lot of different people myself and hear a lot of different stories. Have you been in a process being in a male dominated sport where it's frustrating sometimes based on the process of like, just, I will call it what it is, mansplaining and stuff like that, when trying to break down things? Or have you handled that okay? Or you just been one of those that just blow it off and keep going based on your sales background?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I think I'm maybe a lady who's in a slightly different state of mind on that. I think it has been my impression in the sport that most of the guys who have came up and tried to give me advice or explain anything to me were doing it from a really good place, like mm-hmm. doing it from, you know, with a good heart,
okay,
good place, good intentions. Mm-hmm. And so I think people, and it's funny because sometimes what they're telling me is totally wrong. You know what I mean?
okay. Yes.
But you're just kind of like, well, you know, especially there's certain matches and certain crowds that they'll come over, you know, they'll say certain things and you're kind of like, that doesn't make any sense, but okay, thank you. Right. Like you took the time. And here's the thing. When I first started, I was very thankful for those people who came up when you're nervous and you don't know anybody and you're the new person and you don't know what you're doing. And you're like, I wish somebody would come up and so I don't ever want to shoot those people down because then that's how people stop, being, you know, neighborly and helping and being a good community member. But I will say when we were saying, I just recently had a situation where I went and I was recruited to help do media for a SWAT conference down in Texas.
Okay.
Well, you know, we all know each other in shooting for so long now that if I show up, most people know that I'm at least safe, right? Yes. Like with it. So I showed up and they're having I'm there to interview people and talk about you. I'm not there to talk about me. So I didn't really tell anybody kind of what my background was.
Right.
And so I show up for this little side stage match that they had. And the two SWAT cops that are there running it, I guess before I had gotten there, they're like, oh, I met the media girl. She's cool. But God, I hope she doesn't like come over and try to like shoot her stage or anything.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they were like nervous.
Oh, no.
So I showed up and I was like, hey, can I shoot your side stage? Just look like fun. And he was like, sure. Did you bring a gun? I'm like, no, can I borrow yours? So I borrowed his gun and then I ran around and
now, did you notice them making bets behind the scenes?
Yeah, right. Like, oh God, did we hide? Are we all gonna die? Yeah, and then you know what? But that's a perfect example of like a dude. He came up later and he like told me the whole story and he was like, dude, no, you like, you know what you're doing. Like, I take it all back. I'm sorry. He's like, it was really cool. It was a fun experience. But it was the first time that I kind of realized like, oh, I am in that situation where everybody thinks like I'm a giant airhead.
Well, it's just, you know, it's unfortunate, but you know, it's one of those things where we're around a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you know, 80% of the time it's somebody that doesn't know what's going on because they're maybe there with their husband or something like that, you know, and just hanging out. But in this situation, you were there to run the show.
So it was fun. But like I said, I would say I'm sure it's happened at some point, but I cannot think of an instance that I've been in this sport where somebody came up and gave me unsolicited advice on the account of like trying to make me feel stupid or just to be like a dick or belittle me. Like I haven't seen that. So I try to take people's, you know, advice with their intention.
That's cool. So the shooting sports is very, you know, time consuming, especially to get better. A lot of training involved, a lot of ways to keep things going. What do you do? You know, does that pretty much take all your free time up or you do have other hobbies that you do as well?
Well, like I said lately, God, I want to say, I mean, you get it. Like, do you have time other than the cigars? Do you have time for very many hobbies when you're constantly traveling?
No, this is what I do. You know, when I'm home, you know, Monday, Tuesdays, and sometimes Wednesdays, I'm working at the lab, getting paperwork caught up and everything else and getting ready to go again. But I'm building a brand. So you consider yourself still building a brand the same way?
Kind of. I mean, it ebbs and flows. So I've kind of reduced my hands-on with my actual clients, but then I've got employees and hiring and, you know, ladies get pregnant. So then it's like, you got to figure that out sometimes. And I have to step in and step away at certain times. So I feel like I try to, one, always make sure that my staff feels supported. I'm there for whatever they need. And then I do a lot of the admin and managerial stuff I can do from anywhere, which is nice.
Right.
And then the rest of it is, I want to say, February until June, I think I was only home maybe like 3 weekends.
Wow.
So I do a lot of like, you know, I'll take off on a Thursday, come home on a Monday. And it was everything from Turning Point stuff to, you know, the SWAT conference to different competitions I'm going to myself to different, you know, travel and things. So
tell me about Turning Point, because that is something a lot of people need to know about. That's a very important thing going on. What is Turning Point for our listeners that don't know what that is?
Yeah. Turning Point USA is an organization that was started by Charlie Kirk. And it is basically, colleges these days are just really pushing certain ideologies, and that's all there is to, you know, that they're hearing. And part of that ideology is very anti-Second Amendment.
Yeah.
And so what I liked about Turning Point is that they have a lot of different pillars that they, are, you know, part of their organization. So they focus really on college campuses. They're now reaching into high schools, but it's basically, they have chapters and organizations and they create these really fun, cool events that give this age of kid, exposure to different ideas, that they're not really hearing in a college setting, but also that sense of community where, because in college, like if you're the one, you know, conservative or Second Amendment supporting person, like that can feel very intimidating and very right. isolating. So it also gives them some community. What I liked about Turning Point is that they have a lot of different platforms they stand on. And I don't even necessarily like identify completely with all of them, but right. they were so good about being like, hey, Second Amendment, if you stand behind that, like we want you to be a part of us and mm-hmm. a part of this. And so I go to their events. I've done some local speaking. I've spoke at the University of Minnesota talking about basically how I got in a Second Amendment. Like my grandmother came from a communist country and
really
mm-hmm.
what's going on there? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's from China.
Okay.
And she just happened to be, you know, born at the right time where she, you know, was the Chinese or Sino-Japanese War, right, where they came and invaded. And then it was, you know, she had the Korean War. She's literally just been through wow. so many wars. It's crazy. And she knows what it's like to literally just kind of be at the mercy mm-hmm. of, you know, whoever has the power at that time.
Right.
You know, lived all over, you know, she's all kinds of crazy stories. But I think for me growing up hearing those stories, that's a big part of why that was so important to me growing up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is she still around today?
She is.
Wow. Where's yeah. she at now?
California.
That's awesome. Do you get to talk to her much and go through some of the history like that? Cause that's coming firsthand. That's amazing. To be able to experience that.
Yeah. Yeah. Luckily, I mean, cause she was Sino-Japanese War, then World War II. And then she had she like literally was just like four or five wars back to back. And so my uncles, sat down and actually were able to like kind of record most of that, with her. And so they have all the facts and details and that kind of thing. And so, yeah, I mean, I've grew up hearing the stories too.
What does she think about your grandmother think about you being a gun enthusiast?
You know, she thinks all of it's really cool. I think she had a pretty cool dad for considering like the culture and the time that she was around. They wanted to like bind her feet and he said no. And like, you know, a lot of cool things like that. So I think she, there was things I think she wanted to do in her life she didn't get to do. So the fact that I own a business and, you know, do kind of whatever I want to do and yeah. that I'm into firearms, I think she just thinks is super cool. She's tickled.
That's amazing. She gets, cause she's seen from one extreme all the way to the other mm-hmm. in the family.
So oh,
that's
yeah.
The stories she could tell would just be mind blowing.
Oh,
sure.
She is crazy, crazy. And so like, you know, growing up, I was like, doesn't everybody understand why this is important? Like communism is bad.
Yeah.
So, but like, that's, you know, nowadays that's not really like people seem to be confused about that, which I find confusing.
Well, they aren't talking about it, just like yeah. you said.
Yeah.
So do you get any pushback when you go to some of these universities or schools to talk with anti-people that don't want you there? Have you experienced that before?
Well, I'm not important enough to have like protesters or anything when me and my girlfriend did our Turning Point talk
okay.
there.
Okay.
But we had like 60 something kids show up, which, mm-hmm. and at one point in time, I looked around the room and like not one of them was on their cell phone, which was really cool.
Oh, they had you had your attention.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I was dropping some some hammers from the grandma stories. Right. Mm-hmm. But it was really cool to see that. So, you know, it gives me some hope. Right.
Do they have time to talk to you after the event
yeah.
to get more? Cause that's
yeah.
when the real details, because mm-hmm. you have a presentation that you're giving, you're kind of staying on script as much as possible.
Yep.
But after that, when they get to talk to them
yeah.
in detail, do you ever have people that follow up with you about certain things about guns and stuff like that? If you get into that, or is that, you know, can you see growing that slowly in the community you go to?
Yeah, no, I really can. Yeah. It was really cool for them to come up and talk to me about stuff. And actually this, you'll find this kind of funny. There is a couple friend of mine, two guys, they're partners. And one of them actually, they came just to support me. They were great. And one of them actually said he was listening to a conversation behind him. And one of the girls yelled at her friends and said, oh my God, you outed me for being conservative in that study group we're in. And he was like, I mean, I'm gay and I can't believe that it is more faux pas
right.
to be like a Second Amendment supporter, or conservative or whatever. So
it was
kind of a cool eye-opening thing even for him
yeah.
to come and listen and hear that. So, but yeah, I love it. They'll come talk to me, which is cool. Again, it's that sense of community that you're not the only one. But the other thing is social media.
Mm-hmm.
I will have, you know, some of them reach out to me and just like, hey, here's a situation I had. I'd love your advice. Or just sometimes I just want support or an ear.
Right.
And I'm, you know, happy to kind of help and talk to them. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. Let's take a quick break real quick and yeah. we'll come back and talk about what's going on today and for the future.
This week's podcast is also sponsored by Make Ready Nutrition. They have three products available for shooters that are 2-Alpha Performance to drink before hammer down, 2-Alpha Recovery that I use personally as a meal replacement for lunch with 34 grams of protein and is low carb, 2-Alpha Ammunition, which is next level hydration plus energy and amino acids for shooters, gym workouts, or pushing your body in sports and recreation. Whether you're in the Texas heat or in Arizona desert, 2-Alpha Ammunition works harder and endures longer. This unique formula is manufactured for shooters by shooters to replenish your body with electrolytes and hydration while helping aid in muscle recovery and providing fast energy. For 25% off your next order, go to makereadynutrition.com/discount/huntershd or enter huntershd at checkout for 25% off your entire order. makereadynutrition.com. Are you ready?
You know, I've been seeing you everywhere, different events. And last one I saw you at last year, I think, was at Prairie Fire.
Oh, yeah.
When that was an event that was exciting to be put on the ground, getting everything started. And you're starting to be, from my point of view, looking at things happening, you're starting to be the spokesperson for a lot of different things that are happening with shooting events in other areas. You know, you're doing some work with USPSA and helping them. I saw something done the other day by F5 Productions where you're actually doing some stuff there. How does it feel to be at a point where, you know, other shooting sports, other disciplines, and the current sport that you love are pulling towards you now to get content from you on a sport that you love? It has to be coming full circle. It has to feel good, right?
Yeah, no, it does feel good. I mean, I feel like your question makes me think because I never thought about it that way.
Well, it's what we say from the outside looking, you know, it's another perspective.
Yeah.
It's changing.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that because for me, I just kind of look at it as like, they need a talking head and I'm the closest, you know, one. So, but I like helping. And it's funny because you're actually going to see some USPSA videos coming out that are AI.
Right.
Where like, not even a real person,
right.
Which is so crazy to me,
right.
That you can do that.
Well,
now.
I know you well enough. I want to see the blooper reels. That's what I want to see. That's okay. Going to be so much entertaining.
Oh, yeah. So one reason you're so funny. I love it. One reason that people like to work with me is I don't have to usually do more than one take very
right.
often.
Right.
But when there's a blooper reel, it is really good. And there was one where we were filming outside and we were just struggling with the wind that day. It was cold. It was everything like right. And this wind was crazy. And we were kind of like ad-libbing some of it. And so anyway, I got through this whole thing. And Sean, if you know Sean from mm-hmm, F5,
Sean.
Yeah, yep. He's just staring at me and he's kind of giving me this dead look. And I'm like, okay. And we get done. And it was like one of those ones where I finished.
That's
like,
him filming sometimes.
Yes, it's definitely him filming.
So if you don't know Sean, Sean's like, he's very focused in his work and very, very good at what he does.
Yeah. So like you said, he's kind of giving me his dead stare. I'm like, all right, things are going good. Cause that's the Sean we're filming look. And so, but it's when I finished, it was one of those like, oh, I freaking nailed that. Like I look at Josh, I look at Jake, like everybody's like, yeah, dude, she nailed that. And then Sean peeks out from me, he goes, all right, that was really good. But there was a lot of wind coming through that last one. He's like, so could you just do that one more time?
It won't be the same.
It will not be the same. You know that.
I know that
it's
for
never
sure.
The, no.
It will never be
and
the same.
And you just like, you know, the last one was gold. So I start and I think I get through like 3 or 4 sentences. And then I like look in the camera and I go blank and I just go, F me.
Yeah. When I first started doing some lives from the house and talking about things on this week and shooting and stuff like that, I'd be there and I'd have a whole thing I'd written out. And I'm like going, I stopped doing that altogether.
Yeah.
Cause I gave myself like an outline of like 2 words just so I kind of stay on a point if I got to get there. But besides that, it's all ad lib.
Okay. 1,000,000%. And it's funny cause people who do any sort of media stuff, like everybody's got their strong suits and they're like, Josh is so good at just like you give him a subject and he's like, okay. And he can just do it. Well, come to find out if you watch some of those videos, any of the like scripted, like voiceover stuff, most of that's me because he's like the reading of the words I don't like.
There's too many commas and periods and I'm just skipping over.
Right. And I sound like the infomercial. I'm like, next up, production.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it's pretty funny. Everybody's got their stuff that you find out works for you, but typically the trying to memorize that kind of thing, that's the hardest. And who wants to do that? No.
And I just found out that the Prairie Fire Range in Vegas is going to be doing the grand opening.
Yeah.
You going out there for that?
I don't think I will be going out for that. I have seen a lot of the stuff that they're doing. I know, actually a friend of mine was promoted to, the director of training for Staccato. So like they've been doing some crossover, and then Lanny, I know she's here.
She's wide open.
Killing it out there.
Yep.
Michelle, you know, they're doing so many cool things. I know that that's the focus right now over like the matches. Right. So we'll have to see kind of where that takes its turn.
I was not planning on going, and Lanny came up to me and goes, "Hey, what are you doing September 23rd? And I was like going, I don't know. And
she told me what was going on.
I said, "Well, I kind of hope I have a match. I've already been out there twice. It's a long drive." But sure enough, it looks like I'm going after the grand opening. So I'm going to be going, looks like, in September myself. So
nice.
Well, and, over 1,000 people. It's going to be huge. Yeah,
and I don't know the last time that you were out there, but like
I've never been to that range.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. I would say like even from like SHOT Show time, they had a few people out there. Like it's changed so much. They built so, like they're just doing a ton with it, which is so cool. So, and then they're actually... Staccato range has become like its own thing too. Yes. So, you know, they're separate, but it's just both of those are well, obviously one's in Texas, but yeah.
You know, how did it feel? Cause Prairie Fire last year was in Texas.
Yes.
Everything was great the first day.
Yeah.
And then the entire sky decided to drop rain on a range that was just built, you know, 6 months prior and everything had to pivot. Was that one of your first moments of like ad-libbing and selling this process is really fixing to happen based on what, you know, because you had to do a lot of you were doing a lot there when that was going on.
I think my strong suit is like hostess with the mostest is what I try to do.
All right.
So I luckily, though, that was like above me type of thing where like literally you're talking the people who own these companies and have all these people coming in and they've invested millions of dollars and it's like, crap, what are we going to do? And I think that they pivoted as best as they possibly could.
Oh, they did great.
Yeah.
Compared to what I saw, you know, it was wonderful because they pulled it off.
Yeah.
But it was a lot.
Yeah. So it was a lot.
You got to see the inner workings of that.
I did. Like eyes wide open, like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Right. So they were making their best decisions. And then from there, it was like, they did a really good job at communicating to us, like, hey, here's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then, my job was to like, okay, let's find the people. Let's tell the people. Let's make sure everybody's really happy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that once they rolled the bar carts into the hotel, then it was like,
that was cool. Crazy.
Yeah.
Everybody, the hotel was open and so was the bar.
Exactly. They knew how to keep people happy.
Well, they found out alcohol fixes a lot. So nobody was shooting much anymore. So we're done shooting.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, if it's going to be horrible weather and you only have people inside doing virtual shooting, it's like, get the drinks out. Yeah. It's Texas. We're having a good time. So
The VR machines were really cool.
Yeah. People were enjoying that. Like the competitions they were having with that. I was doing in-depth interviews all day, so I didn't get to like come. I was so busy with that, and I was running around trying to help stuff. But there was one of the guy's wives. She was amazing, and she kept like sneaking me little drinks and snacks and that kind of thing. So, nice. But that was probably my favorite part. I got to sit down and do some really cool interviews, and they really actually wanted me to do more of like, think a little bit more American Idol, where we're not necessarily, you know, talking about singing. We're not talking about shooting, like, and talk about people personally.
Right.
And there's people I've known for shooting for years that I'm like, you what?
That's kind of what I do weekly.
Right? I'm so jealous.
I love my job.
Did you know Jerry delivered Lena?
Well, I have not spoken to him in a podcast, so no, there's an exclusive.
I don't know if you were
really, I had no idea.
Because I don't know how you were going to come across that one. I don't know how we necessarily got to that one, but the way he said it so...
Well, it's a Louisiana thing.
He said it so Jerry, and I was like, because he said it, and it was like, the way he stated it, I was like, wait, am I a ton of, did you deliver? He goes, midwife was late, and I was Johnny on the spot. And
holy
I was like,
holy cow.
Yeah. I was like, what? You know what?
I can see Jerry just pulling a knife out of his pocket. I got the umbilical cord. We got this under control.
Exactly. Don't you worry about it. We're all good. So, I mean,
What was that moment like when you heard him say that? Did you pause like, hold on?
Well, because he didn't say like, I delivered Lena. He just said, well, the midwife was late and I was Johnny on the spot. And I was like, we're processing. Wait. So you delivered Lena? And then she was late. I was Johnny on the spot. I'm like, okay. So
To find out little things, little tidbits. Cause that's one reason, you know, I do what I do is because there's so many different people that are in the shooting sports that have different personalities that don't everybody always mix. That's horrible grammar, but everybody doesn't mix on the range all the time.
I know what you're saying.
But if I can bring people together and find some hits, there's somebody can agree on and have a conversation with somebody. That's what it's all about, trying to bring more people together. Because, you know, you've seen it as well as I've only been doing this for 5 years, and we eat our own when it comes to something that may not be right or don't agree with, but we've got to stick together and be strong. Mm-hmm. So it takes people like us to have those conversations with people to keep them on point. So I think that's pretty cool what you're doing.
Yeah. And I feel like if you're in this long enough, like you kind of like, you see people get so riled up so often, you're just kind of like, yeah, that'll pass too. Like, okay, you know what I mean? I think it's like, you have to try to choose your battles, advocate for, you know, what you think is right as much as you can. But you, like you said, you got to like focus on the community part.
It's a lot, especially now more than ever, you know, we're under attack. You know, I've had a conversation with Dana Mueller not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things, what she's doing, you know, to get out there is not a nice world.
Yeah.
And we stay in our, horrible sometimes, but we stay in our bubble on the range where there's nobody wanting to, you know, interfere with us because they just want to come around anyway, but we don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
So it takes people like us to get out there and let people know there's things happening behind the scenes. We got to get involved more. Yes. We got to get involved more.
And Di is a really good example of somebody who walks the walk. I've sat, mm-hmm. I sat in Orlando at WAFT with Di while we were helping, she's 13 or 14 May, but helping her write her speech that she was going to give to the, you know, to the state legislature.
Do you have a good time at WAFT? I was supposed to be there the same weekend you went.
You bailed on me?
I did.
Rude.
I had too much going on and I was supposed to be there that same weekend. But I was supposed to go this year in December. I talk to Philip all the time. We're fixing to do a lot of stuff. Really big with Hunter's HD Gold and Philip. Everybody wants me to go. I'm like, are y'all just wanting to see, like, have like footage for social media so you can make fun of me? Because I don't know that, you know, the hand-to-hand combat is not something I don't think I'm going to be able to deal with. That's interesting.
You know, I think it's great. Just, it's like exposure. It's stuff that like in firearms, like I hadn't done before.
Right.
And I also really enjoyed the scenario stuff. I mean, I've heard that before, but like there's no better training than scenario training.
What scenario did you get to play that you loved the most at WAFT?
I don't know if you saw any of it, but like, so when I first did scenario stuff where I was like the quote unquote, like victim or had to make decisions was very difficult because they were really good at like, sometimes you go to your car in a parking garage at night mm-hmm. and nothing happens. Cause that's what's going to happen most time is nothing. And then sometimes it's, you know, and so there's all these things. And so I was terrible at that. But I loved being the bad guy. Oh,
did you get to play bad guy?
Yes. I was,
how the hell are you a bad guy with a smile? Because you can't stop smiling.
I know. Okay. So my bad guy giveaway. All right. If I come to rob you, nobody act like you know this, is I giggle uncontrollably.
Okay, fair enough.
It's like, what's my nervous thing? But like, if you know TJ Kurgan from Tactical Shit.
Yes. I know TJ.
Yeah. He was like the leader of our gang and we had this like rogue gang. And so we were like jumping out of minivans.
Just being in a rogue gang with TJ.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop smiling. TJ's a great individual.
Exactly.
I listen to his podcast all the time because I'm crying driving down the road to another match. I love his podcast.
Oh yeah. But no, it was fantastic. Because I was just like, I'm not like the whole, like, let me roll like in there and bust heads. Like, that's not me. Right. Like
they give you a cigarette. Right? How can they help you be more of a villain? I don't know.
No, it was fantastic. So what I did, I had my little key fob. Actually, I robbed Ben from Hyperfire.
Right.
I went up to him and he was like sandwiched in between like a fake gas pump in his car with the car door open. And I walked up, I was like, oh my God, can you help me? My key fob isn't working. Like my car's just over there. When he looked away, I stuck my like UTM, like my Sims gun at him. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to need you to just hold your hands right there. We're going to make this super pleasant if you just stay still. And then I disarmed him. And then I made him give me his money.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was a very polite robber.
This is amazing. Yeah, there's no way. Philip, I know if you're listening, Philip, I'm trying to really come there in DC. December. I don't know how I'm going to do this.
Well, here's the funny thing. So I robbed like, I don't know, like three people, right? Because it was like everybody's
in simulation.
Yeah, in simulation. Never had a fire shot. So I'm like, I'm sitting there and I've got, so like, and I'm like, you know, I'm shoving them in different, like I'm like got under my hand. And I turn around, we're in this like fake, like gas station setting. Mm-hmm. And I see like Mr. Freaking Johnny Good Samaritan, like aimed in at me from behind the gas station. I'm like, son of a, so I like have to dive behind the pump and you know that you're going to meet on the other side.
Right.
And it's just whoever gets there first. It was like the closest thing to a John Wick moment I'll ever have.
Wow.
And, cause it was just like, oh shit. Like, you know, so I dive behind the gas pump and I meet the guy on the other side. Well, I remembered my IDPA days and I leaned out, whereas he jumped out completely. So he shot, I mean, it sucked because my arm was bleeding and whatever, but he completely unloaded my arm.
What do you mean your arm was bleeding?
Well, because he was shooting me Sims from like you to me.
The, you know, Philip, why again do you want me to come do this?
Because it's so fun. But him, I zipped him up the middle into his helmet. So I was like, well, I won that one. I lost an arm, but I won that one.
Lost an arm.
And I have my loot. And I'm going to go get my minivan now. So it was great. It was one of the funniest things I've ever done.
That's so amazing. Yeah. I've got to do that.
You have to.
I think people just want content. Because I'm always getting something. You know, it's just not good. I don't know.
If you've never been shot with like a SIM or a UTM round,
I can say I've never been shot.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, right. I know, right. This is a good thing.
I've
for
never
a
done
hand
to hand combat. There's so much more that I'm just. I'm 52 years old and been doing pretty good at staying out of business like that. So not sure how it's gonna work.
I mean, it's like nobody's going down there and expecting to be. I mean, it's all like worst case scenarios situations. You hope you're never.
Well,
in.
The bad thing is all those guys down there know me because they come shoot matches as well. Sure. So you know they're not going to take it easy on
no,
me.
No, no, no.
They're going to make my life miserable for fun.
One of their BJJ guys. I don't remember what I did. I think I shot him in the helmet. Oh, that's what I shot him in the helmet with a Sims gun. So he was out of play. And again, they had that awkward, like, Well, after that, they have these shock knives.
Oh no.
Yeah. They're like these knives that will shock the crap out of you. And he was out to get me with that thing forevermore after that.
See, time out. Sim's over. Put the knife down.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, that's it's like, and the crazy thing is, it's like this Darth Vader esque where they come out and it just starts like.
Does it hurt?
Yes.
Oh, this is not good. So, see, okay. I do so well to stay out of trouble.
Yeah. So in my first scenario with Philip, where I was supposed to actually pull my gun, it, you know, those things jam sometimes. So I'm like, oh, like malfunction. And he just looks at me. He was like, okay. And he takes the shock knife and just runs it over my hands. And I'm like, oh God. Okay. Got to clear it. Okay. Okay. We're still in play. Cool.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. That hurt.
You're still smiling, but it's over with too. You know,
it's my awkward response. Like, ouch.
Oh, God, love. But no, WAFT is a good place.
Yeah, I've
heard a lot of people do a lot of scenario training there that it's stuff that they just don't know they're going to be put there. It's almost like stuff you do every day, but you don't ever think because you're at your everyday spot where you're comfortable.
Yeah.
So, you know, people go to their gas stations where they know where they get gas at, but, you know, they don't put it in a place that it could happen there as well.
Yeah. So. And I don't feel like there's a whole lot of opportunities out there for just like your everyday civilian who's not trying to run around and LARP like they're a badass, right? Like this is legit just like, hey, these are worst case scenarios that you could actually end up in, at, you know, going through your everyday life and just kind of going to stress you out a little bit and give you kind of some, you know, better options to be prepared and how to handle things.
Wow. Well, you've done a lot so far. What is next for Crystal? I mean, what do you want to do? You might not can talk about everything, but do you have goals that you're wanting to succeed and do next? Do you have stuff out there?
Yeah. People ask me that a lot, right?
Well, it's because you work 2 days a week and you shoot. So, hello. You said it, not me.
I was like, Maxwell was like, oh, can you come help with this? I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll come help. And he was like, do you have to be at work? I'm like, nah, not really on that day. I'm really enjoying, especially Minneapolis is kind of quite the epicenter for a lot of the.
It was very unfortunate here. Continue.
Yeah. Riots and things that happened. So I've had several people in general, and especially women, who have reached out to me and just wanting to learn basic firearms, you know, comfort, proficiency, you know, self-reliance, right? So myself and I don't know if you know Peter from Archway.
Not offhand.
Okay. Yeah. So he's a good guy locally, does a lot of stuff with JP.
Okay.
I know
his face then.
Yeah. So him and I, are kind of putting together some classes for women.
Nice.
Doing some stuff around here, maybe some stuff in, Dallas. Mm-hmm. So doing more with that. I enjoy helping, you know, I want to preserve the Second Amendment. I want to preserve shooting and shooting sports. So the more people that I can get into shooting and, you know, make it part of their culture and their family, I think the better. So that's kind of part of goals. And then I really, really enjoy talking to people.
Right.
So I think any of the like media stuff where I get to help out, I'm not somebody who wants to like sit there and necessarily like have my own channel or I do my own thing. But like, I like interviewing people and talking and learning their story and finding these kinds of things out. So I enjoy that.
Well, finding out other, you know, companies that are doing more of that, you can do that with them
through
USPSA and even Prairie Fire and all the other stuff that's coming around.
Yes. So. I enjoy that. That was fun to like, I mean, I'm sure they all hated me. Like, I can't tell you how many times poor Tim Yackley and Nils would come off their stage at Prairie Fire because, you know, they were in after round. Yep. I was like, so how do you feel? Like, and the craziest part is they're like, well, I'm going to try to just go into it and shoot my best, not think about it. And like, literally, like, I've got like the producer people behind me, like, well, ask them what they do with the prize money. I'm like, this is literally like, oh my gosh.
Do you not know who Nils is? Wait a minute. Nils don't talk like this during a match.
I know
these guys weekly. This doesn't happen.
I know. So I look, I'd be like, please don't hate me. But okay. Yeah.
They're the most cool and calm, collective guys when they're shooting a match. Yeah. That's not the question to ask them.
I know. So I tried to balance it and having some experience with the shooters, understanding a little bit of that mentality, right, but also trying to please the entertainment value that it was being made for, right, mm-hmm, for the person who doesn't know. So enjoyed that. So like, I like doing that stuff. I like doing the educational stuff. And so USPSA, I will always help them with stuff that they need to do. Just anything that, again, keeps bringing people into shooting, bringing shooting into a positive light, I will be happy to help with those things. And even when I went down and did the SWAT conference, that was huge.
Was that your first time doing a SWAT conference?
Yes. That was outside. I had never done like LEO stuff.
Yeah, because we're dabbing in that a little bit. And it's a whole nother thing. Totally I started sponsoring some police combat matches and a lot of stuff with different stuff through IWI and working with some of those guys. And I'm like going, it's a whole nother world.
And I love it because I think there should be more crossover, because the more of those guys in military and law enforcement that get into this, you know, the if you do competitive shooting, like, it's just going to make you a better caliber of shooters, right? And it gives us more exposure and understanding into that world. And so I really loved it. But that was volunteer. And I was happy to go do that because I didn't realize all the guys who go down there and organize that and all the instructors and all the, like, they are all volunteering their time to give the opportunity to basically just pass on, share knowledge and make these guys, that much better at their jobs.
Yeah, that's a trip. Was it Matt Little down there with that as well? Because he's really big in getting more LE guys to shoot. Yes. And that's what he's kind of moving to right now. Come back in USPSA a lot, which is good to see.
Which is super fun. And when I was down there doing that, Austin SWAT did a demonstration and they pulled me in and I got to be a hostage. So when people are like
a hostage that has a smile that won't stop laughing. Tell me how this went. Go ahead.
I had to play it off. I had to be like this, like looky-loo with my cell phone, like filming too close. And then I ended up getting pulled in.
When you have to go do a job like where you just can't smile and laugh.
Yeah.
Where do you take yourself mentally to make it where you go to that place where I can't show my emotions?
Well, I think that...
Because I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, I know. I'm so bad. I'm always so smiling.
We're pretty transparent.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. All in the sleeve.
We're very transparent.
You know what? I think everybody else in the scenario was putting so much work and effort into it. And they were all so serious. And so I was just bury it down deep, Crystal, right? Because I wanted to respect the amount of work that they're putting into that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, too, it was really for the crowd so that they could get an idea of the capabilities that those guys had. And it was really fun. But when people ask me, like, what's next? I'm like, I've kind of been having fun just seeing where the ride's going, too. Because, one day you think you're hanging out. The next day you're... The next day you get taken hostage. And also, I got to meet some... there was a working dog that is apparently on a TV show called SEAL Team.
Wow.
And so I got to hang out with this working dog. They literally put her in the back of the car with me, mm-hmm, and then they had to go get all their gear, which is then I realized that you cannot get out of the back of a police car, even if it's unlocked. So it's just
you
me.
You were done.
And they were just like, let her touch you. Don't touch her. And I'm like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
So the back seat with me and this dog.
Sounds like a date.
Right? And I was all. So then they get back in the car and she's licking my hand. I'm like, she licked me first. And he's like, first? Did you lick her back? I'm like, I reserve the right to.
That's not your business right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, I'm very blessed and I've just wanted to. I think if you have the right intentions and you surround yourself with good people and you kind of, stick with that path. Like, I've just had so much fun, like the things that have been coming my way.
I can relate with that because with what I'm doing with Hunters HD Gold, I just keep opening the doors.
Yeah.
You know, if a door's presented to me, I'm going to walk through it.
Yep.
If I don't like it, I can turn around. But it's just like this weekend has happened. I didn't know I was going to Vegas in September.
Yep.
I didn't know it. I thought it was going to be something else, but nope.
Yep.
So it's one of those things you don't ever know what's going to happen. That's kind of a cool thing about building a brand. So. Yeah.
I will say the one thing that is going to be a little bit different this year that I'm excited is Federal is taking me on a hunt in December. That'll be my first. I haven't been really hunting.
So you've never been hunting?
I sat on Josh's property for like 2 or 3 weekends and just didn't see anything. It was just kind of the time of season it was.
Right.
And me and the camera guy like solved all the world's problems and we just chatted.
Have you talked to other people that's been on a hunt for the first time, what that could be like for you?
A little bit. I know I have to be quiet. I'm prepared.
No, not that. Just what the work begins once you pull the trigger.
Yes. So I'm going around home with Federals. Of course, there's like guides and there's mm-hmm. other people. So like there's mm-hmm. like some assisting and then
they know it's your first hunt.
They know it's my first hunt.
Continue. I know where this is going.
And then I have
if you don't, we'll talk about it offline. It's gonna be bad.
And I've recently partnered with Swarovski and Collis. And nice. So they are kind of have some different things that we might try to go do too, which would be cool.
That's a whole nother world.
Yeah.
That's where you know, I start off in the shooting sport. And now the hunters and everybody else in that other world of the other side of the firearms industry is starting to find out about me. It's a whole other world out there.
Yeah, that's right. You say you came back around full circle. Yeah. I think it's cool. And I really like the field to table. My girlfriend, I always get like meat from her and meals from mm-hmm. her, which I think is cool. So I'm interested in at least giving it a go.
Are you ready to take the knife and somebody carry a camera because this is gonna be great. The first time I harvested an animal, I went through the whole process.
Yeah.
I did everything. So it's an experience.
Do you know who Hannah Barron is?
I know the name. Yeah, okay. She does. She's out of the
Catfish.
Yeah, Catfish out of Louisiana. Yeah.
So they hunt and stuff too. But like I said something to her when we were at an event one day where she like no gloves or nothing. I'm like, I want like a hazmat suit. Like
you did
I
that? Want.
Well, she was.
You went noodling or whatever they call
no,
it.
No. She was at an event up here.
Oh.
But her and her dad have invited me to come down noodling, and I keep thinking one day I will have the guts to do it.
Nay. That's a hard pass for me.
I know. No. Her dad's like, I'll set everything. Jeff, he's so great. He's like, I'll set everything up and I'll be like, you just have to go down and get it. I'm like, but what my luck, I'm gonna get like snapped in the face by like a turtle or a gator.
Tell me why the other animals aren't there.
Yeah.
When you can explain to me why there's only a catfish there and nothing else, we'll talk about it. But if I can't see through the lake water, we're gonna have to talk about that too. Why is this water not clear?
No. But I do want to go bow fishing. Is
okay.
that right? Where you go yeah. and you like fine. Okay. Yeah. You're that's like, that's
you're in a boat. I'm fine with that too. I'm not in the lake where I can't see the bottom.
You're not wrong. Yeah. The whole idea, all that freaks me out, but
there's no way.
There's levels that I want to achieve.
You're going. Okay. Well, you've done the Philip thing at WAF. Yes. So there's pretty much not much you can't do after that based on that, but going noodling,
robbing people to noodling, it's a natural progression.
Yeah, we're gonna push a pause from me on that one. So, that's gonna be different. But no, you've got a lot of great things going on. So that's so cool. How can do you see yourself becoming more and more of an advocate for the Second Amendment as your career grows? I mean, you know, nobody knows what that door looks like yet. But
sure.
With you being a woman in a situation where everybody's going to be under attack yep. at some point, and especially women, because they're going to be shamed mm-hmm. and everything that we're going to, just like men are being shamed, just the same thing. But, are you prepared for that? Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So I've had a little bit of that, like just very small scale.
Okay.
And my methodology behind that is like, don't apologize. I said what I said.
Okay.
Right.
Like, that's cool.
The only way to, right. Hey, I'm not out to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not out to like disregard other things, but right. said what I said.
Yeah. Cause you experience it already on social media. I'm sure that's your beauty store can get 10,000 likes and all of a sudden a post you do with about guns gets 100. We're already being, blocked from being seen on other people's profiles.
Oh yeah. The shadow ban. Yeah. That happens for sure. With just across everybody we know. I've lost clients and stuff like it too, but okay. I feel like I have done a very good job, and I have for sure strived to keep the business separate and professional as possible. And it's also not myself. I also have other, staff to worry about their incomes and livelihoods and stuff. So right. I don't ever commingle it on purpose, but if you seek me out and you find my page or you find my personal stuff, which I do not commingle with my business stuff, mm-hmm. and you don't like that and you don't want to support that, then that's totally up to you. But it's not because I went and shoved it in your face. You know right. what I mean? So, my goal in my business side is to be a resource for somebody who wants to know, but I'm not necessarily like pushing on you because you come for something else. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to answer your bigger question. I've been afforded a lot of really cool opportunities that not everybody in this industry gets. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because you're a girl, which I know how everybody says, right? But like, right. I've just had good friends, good experiences and had, good connections that I've gotten to do cool things.
All right.
So the only way that I can really, I think, pay that forward and pay that back is to try to open the door to more other people, bringing them in, making sure that they have a good experience and that they understand that why we love this community and the good parts of it. And like I said, just kind of make it more part of the culture again.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, how can people get in touch with you, Crystal? If somebody wants to reach out to you.
Don't. Fair enough. I'm busy.
Contact info at huntershdgold.com. I'll make sure to get her the info myself because she does not want to take another email. No, I'm just kidding.
No, not at all. No, I'm super easy to talk to. As long as you're not weird, I'm super easy to talk to. Yeah. So yeah, usually through, you know, social media, that's really easy. My Instagram is just Crystal, K-R-Y-S-T-L.done. And then I have, you know, if anybody still goes on Facebook, I have a shooting page on Facebook. So. Yeah, usually can get a hold of me there. So, and then honestly, like any events with like some of the, you know, when JP does stuff, when my club does stuff, when Federal does stuff, I try to go out and help and be a part of that stuff as much as I can as well too.
And at matches, do you get approached a lot when you go to matches? Is it kind of hard to focus on your stage plan sometimes because people may come up to you based on what you do with different companies, or have you been able to work through that?
You know, I had somebody tell me recently that came up and started to chat with me. They said, you know, I want to come up to you a couple other times, but you're never alone. So I realized, I guess you're less approachable sometimes, but I luckily always have, you know, people that I'm with that are always kind of part of the crew that we're doing stuff. So, no, I don't find it hard. And I feel like people are pretty, you know, good at matches, understanding we're there to be competitive. But, if people want to come up and talk to me about stuff, like I don't bite, I'm pretty friendly. So, and I'm happy to, and I get to talk to people about Federal and some of the rounds and that kind of thing. I love doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Federal's going through a lot of changes right now.
Yes,
so
yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah. But
they're right down the street.
They are. Yeah. I know the engine. Same thing with JP. Like I know the engineers. Mm-hmm. They're in our backyard. I've gotten to go to the plant. So I like chatting about that stuff to the extent that my knowledge is, you know, I think that stuff's really fun. So.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Anything we left off?
I think we covered it all and then some.
We had fun.
I get to go work the beer garden now.
You do.
I'm the gatekeeper, the bouncer.
Multi-Gun Nationals has a beer garden going on where there's going to be like all kind of stuff after everybody's done shooting. So I'm going to pack up and go eat it up. I'm not going to be a part of that.
Yeah. So. It brings me back to I used to work at a nightclub and bartend and whatever. And I used to sometimes get to check IDs.
Right.
And I wasn't even 21, but I loved to mess with people.
Right.
So maybe I'll have fun messing with people.
You're bringing those skills back.
Relive that again.
Cause there's a couple of guys here in Minnesota that are not 21. So have fun with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you a junior shooter? You're a junior shooter. I am.
Yeah. You're junior category, aren't you? No. Logan.
Get out of here. Logan.
I know better.
Somebody get him a non-alcoholic, please.
Awesome. Well, you know, if you have any questions for Crystal, please reach out to her on social media. Or, of course, email me at info@huntershdgold.com. And thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of Hunters HD Gold Behind the Lens. And until next time, we'll see you at the range soon. Thanks, Crystal.
For a complete written transcript of the Dr. Bill Show, go online to www.icarusmusic.com.
And welcome back to the Dr. Bill Show. Let's go to a caller who seems to be having issues communicating with his girlfriend. Caller?
Yeah, I'd had this problem with my girlfriend. She kind of broke up with me. I've been doing everything right. Everything's been going great. We went out. We've gone out for, I don't know, I'd say a good 5-6 months. Everything's good. I mean...
But son, you've got to use communication.
I've done that. I mean, what else can I do? I mean, seriously, I mean, like, I...
Son. Some girls are just bitches.